tuned in to the spiciest podcast in the world, live from your local cash and carry, the Notorious Gucci Podcast. Hand me some of that journey.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another great, and I say that with a great, great episode of the Notorious Gucci Podcast. This is episode 127, if I'm not mistaken, 127, 127 in your speakers, in your earphones, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening to this. Thank you so much for rocking with me, man, all this way. 127, episode 127, Notorious Gucci Podcast, man. We out here. Man, let's talk about this week then. So a bit of an update here this week, weather wise. Yeah, it's getting cold, getting rainy, getting chilly, so make sure you guys are wrapping up warm out here, man, in the UK, man. You know, winter is upon us, and so make sure you're wrapping up warm, staying safe, you know, drinking your fluids and staying healthy and staying blessed. That's all we want, man. Right, in terms of this week, man, yeah, we've got some, quite a few things to talk about this week. We've got some, handful of singles again. A bit light on the single side, but a few handful of singles. Got some new albums from Kid Cudi and Jack Harlow's new album. We'll talk about that. We'll give you guys another Coronies update here in the UK. And we talk about what I've been watching over this last week and some of the announcements that were made over last week. You know, some big movies and big series that are coming our way very, very soon. And then, yeah, in the gaming section, man, we're going to talk about the Game Awards, who were the winners, what are some of the announcements. We'll talk a bit more about Cyberpunk 2077, what I've been playing, a review of the two games that I've been playing, and my first impressions of another new game I've been playing, right? And for the first time this week, after a long time, man, my sleeper pick session is making a comeback, so we'll talk a bit about that as well. So yeah, quite a packed episode. So let's get cracking, man. Without further ado, let's get cracking on the single side of things, man.
Hey DJ, turn up the music.
Yeah, man, let's turn up the music. So let's start with the legendary Gangstar. Yeah, the legendary Gangstar. They released the first, I think, posthumous album. Was it last year? One of the best yet. That was a great album, man. It was a great album for a posthumous album. And it still gets plays to this day, man. And they just released the instrumental version of the album. And on the instrumental version, you've got a brand new bonus track, and that one's called Glowing Mike. So an unreleased track there from Gangstar. And yeah, man, that is a smoker, man. That is a smoker. I really dig that. You know, I'm a big fan of Gangstar, man. I have been since, God knows lot, how long ago. And this is a dope track, man. I don't know, hopefully they can make that into the package that into a deluxe version, I hope at some point. But for now, that's only found on the instrumental version, unfortunately. But yeah, a really dope track, man. From a legendary guru and DJ Premier who formed Gangstar. Dope track, man. I was really fucking with it, man. There's not much really else to say. Classic, legendary track, man. And, I really...
Hey, DJ, turn up the music.
I really like that, man. That was just little technical issue there. I really like that track, man. So it's Gangstar with Glowing Mike, man. Five chilies out of five for me on the Spice Summertime, man. You know the fucking vibes.
You know the fucking vibes.
Say that shit again.
You know the fucking vibes.
Five out of five chilies on the Spice Summertime, man. You know what time it is.
Ooh, spicy.
Both spicy, both tickle, ek dumb, man. What would a Ball spicy, ball tickle, ek dumb tickle track B without my guy, Mr. Ooh Wee. Take it away.
Ooh Wee.
Yes, sir, man, that's Gangstar with Glowing Mike. Really, really dope track there. Ball spicy, ball tickle track there, man. Make sure you guys go check that out. Next up, man, we've got Benny the Butcher with a new track called 330 in Houston. Now, if you've been following Benny for some time, over these recent few weeks, you probably know what this track's about. Benny was shot in his leg a few weeks ago, about a month or so ago. And, thank God he's all right. He's making his recovery. And, this track is basically talking about him getting shot out in Houston when he was exiting the Walmart. Roughly around 3:30, right? he gives us a little depiction of what went down and how, paints a picture of how it went down and things, and what he feels about the whole situation. And so it's a dope track, even though he's obviously got a bit of a shocking bit of sadness behind it. But you know, he's recovering, he's doing well, which, you know, we're glad to hear. And it's a dope track, man. It's a dope track, you know, for storytelling and things. Yeah, it's a dope track. So shout out to Benny, man. And yeah, so that's Benny the Butcher with 330 in Houston. 4 chilies out of 5 for me on a spiceometer. Quite spicy, quite dickcool indeed. Next up, man, we got my guy Boogie, aka Westside Boogie. Yeah, he's changed his name. He went by Boogie at the beginning, and now he's changed his name to Westside Boogie. You know, he's the one signed as Shady. He released his debut album, I believe, just about 2 years ago now, right? Everything's for sale. Yeah. So he changed his name, Westside Boogie, and he links up with Joey Badass, and they dropped the track Outside. His first bit of music in quite some time, I think about 2 years at least, yeah. And yeah, it's a dope track, really, really dope track, man. Hopefully this is a rollout to a new project from Boogie, or Westside Boogie. I'm calling Boogie for short. And yeah, it's a dope, dope track, man. Him and Joey doing some great lyrical miracle bar work on there, man. And that's great, man. I really like that. It's just shouts out to Westside and Joey Badass with Outside. 4 chilies out of 5 for me on the spiceometer. And finally, man, our last big single of the week comes from the R&B songstress from Dreamville, Ari Lennox. She drops a new track called Grounded, albeit it's only about 90 seconds or so long, and it's part of an advert or something. I think she's got this track is accompanying. But yeah, it's a dope track for those 90 seconds, not 90 minutes, sorry, 90 seconds. Yeah, obviously it should be a bit longer, I think, you know. If it was a bit longer, it may potentially earn that 5 out of 5 chili rating, that bold spicy, bold tickle, ek dumb tickle rating, man. But unfortunately, just because it's a bit short on the short side, it just falls short on that, on the spice on that front. But nonetheless, dope little short listen there from Ari Lennox with Grounded. 4 chilies out of 5 for me on the spice on. So make sure you guys go check that out. Yeah, so a week of great singles, man. You know, ek dumb, bold tickle, bold spicy track there with Gangstar with Glowing Mike. Then Benny with 330 in Houston, quite tickle, quite spicy there. Westside Boogie and Joey Badass with Outside. And Ari Lennox with Grounded, all quite spicy, quite tickle tracks out there, man. So make sure you guys go check out all those tracks. They are on your streaming services now. Alright, man, let's get into some albums this week, man. So let's start off with a gentleman who I wasn't really looking at listening to his album, to be honest. And I heard some talk all over the internet over the weekend and saying that this album's great, man. Yeah, it's great, man. You should listen to it, this, that. Getting good reviews and things. So yeah, I checked it out just a few days ago, and you know what, I can see why people are fucking with this album. And the album I'm talking about is Jack Harlow's debut studio album, That's What They All Say, man. Jack Harlow, you know, is the one behind that smash hit single What's Poppin', you know What's Poppin', brand new hit, but just what, you know, brand new hit, what's it, brand new whip, just hopped in that one. He drops his debut album, That's What They All Say. So this album comes packaged at 15 tracks, 43 minutes or so long. It's got the What's Poppin' original track on there, and then What's Poppin' remix also on there as well, with DaBaby, Tory Lanez, and Lil Wayne. Right, and then your other features, you got Lil Baby on Face of My City on track 2, Big Sean on track 5, Way Out, Chris Brown on track 6, Already Best Friends, Adam Levine on track 9, Same Guy, ESTG on track 10, Rook 66, Static Major and Bryson Tiller on track 12, Love Is Dro. So those are your features, and then you got what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 solo tracks from Jack on this. So 8 solo tracks out of 15. 8 solo, 7 features, 15 tracks, 43 minutes or so long. So yeah, a great compact length as well. Yeah, man, I did enjoy listening to this album, man. I didn't think I would, because obviously I haven't listened to much Jack Harlow apart from that What's Poppin' song. I know he put out like an EP or something, you know, quite some time ago, I think last year or something, which What's Poppin' was actually on there. That was called Sweet Action, I believe. Yeah, that was put out, yeah, well, that was put out earlier this year, damn, okay, yeah. So quite a quick turnaround, man, for him to put out this big you know, debut album here. So yeah, man, Jack Harlow, That's What They All Say, man. Yeah, I enjoyed listening to this. I didn't think to pay any attention when it came out, because, you know, I don't know, I just when stuff's quite commercial, mainstream, I tend not to, you know, gravitate towards it that much. But you know, when I listened to What's Poppin', you know, quite a few months ago, I was like, okay, this is decent. I don't mind it. And then obviously when I heard that, you know, this album's out and everybody's talking about it and how good it is and things, I was like, all right, you know what, let me go check this out. Fine. And yeah, and I was pleasantly surprised. Yeah, man, Jack can rap, man. Don't be put off just because, you know, the color of his skin or anything. But yeah, the boy can rap, man. You know, as a lot of people say, you know, you're not getting any sort of Eminem, you're not getting any sort of Mac Miller, any sort of those vibes. There's Jack's in his own lane in this, I think, man. He's got his own sound, his own lane, and I think that's great to have, because obviously a lot of people will compare, you know, just because of the colour of his skin, they will compare him to, you know, the other you know, rappers that are, you know, of the same background, you know, i.e. Eminem's, Mac Miller's and things. So yeah, no, it's a great album, man. Great album. I've no skips for me really on this one, man. Although it does have favorites, and the standout for me by far, the track I've been blasting a lot, man, has to be track 6, Already Best Friends with Chris Brown. That one is a smoker, man. That one is an absolute smoker, man. That's a whole spicy Baltico hectum tickle track, man. Track 5, Already Best Friends with Chris Brown, man. I hope that's the next single from here. Obviously, What's Poppin'. You know, What's Poppin' was number 1, and then it was No Way Out with Big Sean. I hope this one with Chris Brown gets the next single treatment, man, video treatment, because it is an absolute smoker of a track, man. Probably, yeah, it's my favourite track from the album. But again, yeah, front to back, no skips for me. Great rapping on there from Jack, man. He smoked it. And features are great as well. Static Major, Bryson Tiller on track 12. Love Is Throw is also dope. Little Baby on track 2. Face of My City, great one as well, man. Big Sean track as well. No, was it Way Out? Yeah, that was great as well. Yeah, man. So a great album from Jack, man. You know, front to back, no skips at all. Definitely can see myself replaying this. But you know, just some part of me cannot, you know, give it the 5 out of 5 chili rating. I just don't know why, but it's just not really getting that sort of deal for me. It's not really getting that sort of that rating for me, you know, getting that 5 out of 5 chilies. Nonetheless, it's still a great album, man. Definitely a great album. So Jack Harlow, that's what they all say, dope debut album from Jack, man. And yeah, man, and that deserves 4 chilies out of 5 for me on a spice summertime, man. Quite spicy, quite thick-cool indeed. So shouts out to Jack, man. Wasn't expecting that, man. Pleasantly surprised. And next up, man, probably the biggest release of this week was Kid Cudi. He dropped his new album, Man on the Moon 3, the chosen sequel to, you know, the Man on the Moon 2. Right, I think that was called Legend of Mr. Rager. And yeah, he follows that up with this Man on the Moon 3, man, the chosen. So this Man on the Moon 3 chosen comes packed at 18 tracks. I think we talked about it last week. It was broken into 4 acts, all right. And we got features from Skepta and Pop Smoke on track 8, Show Out, and then Phoebe Bridgers on track 14, Loving Me, and then Trippie Redd on track 16, Rockstar Nights. Those are your only features on there. And then Kid Cudi goes Mr. Solo Dolo, as he likes to call himself, you know, throughout the remaining tracks, man, you know, throughout the remaining 15 tracks. And you know what, man, this is a this album. So let me give you a bit of background about how I've been feeling about Kid Cudi, you know. So I loved his, you know, Man on the Moon 1 and 2, and even Indicud, you know, those 3 albums for me were great. You know, obviously the Man on the Moon series was, you know, obviously, you know, the highlight, you know, for Kid Cudi and things. And you know, I even liked Indicud. You know, after that, you know, he started dropping, you know, albums here and there, you know. Was it Satellite Moon or something like that it was called? And then you had Passion Pain and Demon Slaying, you know, all albums that weren't met with great really reception. All albums that weren't met with great reception, and you know, really just wasn't the Kid Cudi that we, you know, you fell in love with, or you know, you came to love, in my opinion. This is my opinion. You know, not really giving you those Man on the Moon or Indicud sort of vibes. And so yeah, it's been some time, quite some time since I heard, you know, a great Kid Cudi album, right? Probably, yes, I said since In The Cut, that was his last great album to me, right? And so yeah, very, very long time. And you know, for you to put out a project and name it Man on the Moon 3, it's got to live up to that expectation. And I gotta say, this is a great return to form for Kid Cudi, because this album does deliver on all cylinders. It keeps true to that Man on the Moon series, man. It gives you that melodic Kid Cudi that we all fell in love with, that I fell in love with, that, you know, Kid Cudi that you'll be humming along to, like, you know, all of that shit that he does, man. Yeah, you know, and you know, that music that, you know, will trip you out, and you know, just put you on another planet, right? As you said, Man on the Moon, put you on the moon, right? It's that kind of music, man. God knows what this will sound like, you know, when you're off, when you're high or something, man, because this probably sounds spectacular when you're high, I'll tell you that, right? But yeah, man, this is a great album, man. Great return to form from Kid Cudi, man. You know, was it the intro track? First one is just like 30 seconds so long, and then we get into the track Tequila Shots, Another Day, She Knows This, Dive, Damaged, Heaven on Earth, Show Out, which is great, Mr. Solo, Dolo 3, Sad People, Elsie's Baby Boy, The Flashback. That was one track I didn't like either, just one of them, I think, out of the whole album. And then, you know, September 16th, The Void, Loving Me, The Pale, Moonlight, Rockstar Nights, For the Kids, Lord I Know, right? So yeah, man, only really one track I didn't like out of this, you know, 18 track album, which coming clocks in about 58 minutes. Apart from that, man, yeah, 17 out of 18, dope, man. I'm not even gonna include the intro. So really, this album is 17 tracks, man, and 16 of them I like. Yeah, man, that's great. I fuck with it, man. I fuck with it. You have to be in the mood. Definitely have to be in the mood for this. It's not something that, you know, you just put on and be like, yeah, I want to listen to that. You know, you have to be in the mood. You have to be in a Kid Cudi sort of trippy sort of, you know, wouldn't say relaxed, but sort of like, you know, in the zone where you just want to like zone out and things. You know, this is not the music I'd say, you know, you want to listen to when you're trying to be productive with things. You know, if you, it's probably the music you want to listen to when, you know, when you're like, you know, doing some chores or something, like cleaning a house or whatever, man, you have this on in the background, great, dope. But if you want to get some work done, I don't feel like this is that sort of type of vibe music, because this is that sort of, you know, space you out, you know, put you on another planet, moon sort of vibe. Yeah, man, so shout out to Kid Cudi, delivering the first album that I've liked from him, you know, in seven years, really. Yeah, man, I fuck with it, man, I really fuck with it, and, you know, I fuck with it, man. It's good. It's great to see him, a great return to form for him, and yeah, just great to see him putting out a great body of work in 2020, man. As you see, a lot of these people, when you listen to this album, right, Day One Kid Cudi fans know, and you know, they know that where people like Travis Scott, Playboi Carti, and you know, Trippy Redd, and all of these people, they get the influences from, man, Lil Uzi and things. You can see where people get these influences from, right? Because I think Kid Cudi was, you know, one of the forefathers of that sort of genre, you know, that trippy melodic sort of, you know, sound, which, you know, all these artists put into their music these days. Travis Scott, for one, his you know, when you listen to this project, you sometimes it makes you think, like, am I listening to Kid Cudi, you're listening to Travis Scott, right? And you know, because we, you know, we've heard more of Travis you know, in these last few years than we have from Kid Cudi. So you know, we've been accustomed to like that sound from Travis, but don't get it fucked up, don't get it twisted, that sound actually came from Kid Cudi, and Kid Cudi is one of Travis Scott's biggest influences. He's gone on record and said it, right? They even made a track together as well, the Scots. He's gone on record and said that he's one of my biggest influences, if not the biggest influence, you know, in my music. And you can definitely hear that and feel that when you listen to this project, definitely, right? So you know, yeah, it's good. You can see where we'll see these younger artists, you know, getting their influences and things from, and their sounds from, and it's from the OG who made that sound, Scott Mess Cudi, man. And yeah, man, big shout out to Kid Cudi, man. Great album, really enjoy listening to it. Obviously you gotta be in the mood for it, right? But you know, yeah, I listened to this while I was driving, and yeah, man, that was great, because, you know, you just literally driving somewhere, focusing on that, and then, you know, you got this in the background playing, man. Yes, it's a vibe, definitely, man. As I said, yeah, front to back, no skips for me, except for the track 11, Elsa's Baby Boy, that one track. Apart from that, all great, man, all fire music on there. And yeah, it's a great album, man, great album. So a good return to form, man, a good return to form. So with that being said, man, I gotta give up to Kid Cudi, man. I gotta give up to him, man. And yeah, this album earns 5 chilies out of 5 for me on the Spice Ones. I was going back and forth with it in my head, you know, on the first you know, listen. So yeah, it was 4 chilies, but you know, for an album this magnitude, you know, and this length, and you know, getting, you know, majority of, you know, literally 99% of the tracks on point, and staying and sticking to that true sound, it has to, man. So a big shout out to Kid Cudi, a good return to form with Man on the Moon 3, The Chosen. 5 chilies out of 5 for me on a Spiceometer, man. You know the fucking vibes.
You know the fucking vibes.
Hit that shit.
Ooh, spicy.
Both spicy, both tickle, ek dham tickle che bhai. Ooh, we indeed, man. That's Kid Cudi, Man on the Moon 3, The Chosen. Make sure you guys go check that out. It's on your DSPs, the, you know, direct streaming platforms right now, man. Make sure you guys go check that out. Yeah, man, so that wraps us up on the music side. So some great singles, man. A good week for music, man. A really good week for music, man. No mid tracks, no, you know, Dutty, man, Bodra sort of tracks out there, man. All great music out this week. Make sure you guys go check all of that new music out right now. Right, let's talk about some news, man. Let's hit some news.
You seen the news, bro?
Yeah, man, we seen the news. So let's start off with our cronies update, man, here in the UK. So as of just midnight gone today, you know, London was placed into tier 3 of these tiered restrictions here in the UK for, you know, in relation to you know, the cronies. So I mean, you know, in tier 3, obviously, you know, pubs and hospitality restaurants and stuff have to close, you know, but you know, they can remain open for takeaways or deliveries. Retails and stuff will remain open, you know, no mixing of, you know, people indoors, outdoors. You know, you need to obviously maintain social distance and things. You know, yeah, just a bit stricter on that side, you know, no fans allowed in football stadiums, anything like that. But gyms and things will still remain open on all of those things, you know, your non-essential retail still remaining open as well. But this was expected to happen. There was obviously some suggestions that the over the Christmas period next week, you know, where they've eased the restrictions, you know, for 4 or 5 days, that they're going to get rid of that. But it was confirmed earlier this morning that they're not. They're going to keep that in place. And you know what that means, man. Even the thing is, if they didn't keep it in place, people would still break the rules. So it's just a, you know, no-win situation there. But you know what that means, man. You know, come by the time January hits, we'll probably be into another lockdown, man. So let's, you know, we got to bide our time, really, on that. But yeah, London in tier 3. You know, moving into tier 3, and some parts of Hertfordshire as well. I believe Watford and Broxburn, you know, they're included into tier 3 as well. So just outside London. So yeah, make sure you all guys are staying safe out there, you know, washing your hands, face, you know, wearing a mask, washing your arse, all of that shit, man. Maintaining your distance and things, and just, you know, being cautious and being vigilant, man. That's all yours, because, you know, we are in the midst of winter, you know, getting into the midst of winter, you know, where, you know, it is the season where people would potentially fall ill and things. But so yeah, if not, just stay your ass home, man, so you know you don't get that sort of scare or that sort of, you know, feeling that you're coming down with something or things like that. You know, that's it for the cronies for now. Obviously, you know, we've got the ease of restrictions next week, you know, for the Christmas period for 4 or 5 days, and then obviously you know, back to, you know, this tier system. So let's see how things work out on that. Right, there's not really any other news, you know, no announcements for any upcoming music releasing this week. So you know, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see what music comes out. But yeah, no upcoming announcements on that. let's talk about some TV and movie, man. What I've been watching. Yeah, man. Let's hit that shit. Let's talk about some films I've been watching first.
Hey, bro, you seen that new film?
Yeah, man. I've seen some new films, man. Let's talk about some. Right. So, the first film I checked out this week was called Fallen. Right. That is on, I believe, Netflix. Yeah, Netflix. It's around you know, murder investigations and things. It's a Morgan Freeman film, yeah. So yeah, they're around, you know, a murder thriller sort of thing. Gives you sort of those you know, those Seven sort of vibes, you know, initially and throughout, you know, like, you know, you're trying to find this killer, you don't really know who he is, and he's on the chase for this killer. Yeah, which is you know, one of my favorite sort of genres. I think it's Morgan Freeman, Ashley Judd on that. Yeah, so yeah, great film, man. I really liked it. And I think, was it Netflix, Amazon Prime? No, it's Amazon Prime, I believe. Was it Amazon Prime? Yeah, one of those. Yeah. let me just double check for you. Was it Amazon Prime or was it Sky Go? Oh, I watched so much shit this week, man. I'm getting mistaken. Fallen. Let's have a look. That's it. Yeah. Fallen. All right. My bad, ladies and gentlemen. My bad. It's not Morgan Freeman. I'm bad. I'm sorry. I'm really, really sorry on that. Right. I don't mean to disrespect the legend. He's actually my guy, Denzel Washington, Wenzel, I like to call him, because he's such a great actor. I do apologize. As I said, I've watched so many films this week. I do apologize. Right, Fallen. This is on Amazon Prime Video, right? Okay, forget about it. The one I was talking about is the other film I watched. I'll get to that. So, Fallen, Amazon Prime, man. In this Omen-esque chiller, John Hobbs, played by OC Denzel Washington, is a New York detective who witnesses the execution of a serial killer. Soon after, the killings start again, and they're very like the style of the killer who was executed, and he finds that he's pursuing a supernatural serial killer, man. So yeah, man, really good. Something different. So a supernatural murder mystery sort of thing, man. And yeah, it was really good, man. Really, really good. I think this is one of the films of Denzel that I hadn't watched. I know there's, you know, there's 100 other, you know, Denzel films out there that I still haven't watched, but I've checked out his main ones. But yeah, man, this was a nice, great little hidden gem in his filmography. And yeah, man, I really liked it. I said I'm a big fan of the genre. So Fallen on Amazon Prime, Denzel Washington, right? And yeah, man, definitely urge you guys to go check that out. 4 chilies out of 5 for me on a spiceometer. Next up, man, I finally checked out the live action remake of Mulan on Disney Plus. So you know, it's a live action remake. You know, it's not a like for like remake. You know, there are a lot of key points and you know, a key character and key characters missing from this, that, you know, compared to the original. One key character, obviously, in the person who really made Mulan for me was, you know, the little dragon Mushu, who was played by Eddie Murphy in the animated one, right? He's not in here. The villain as well, he's gone by a different name on here. So yeah, it's a different villain, different name, right? But you know, somewhat of the main story is, you know, pretty much the same. Obviously, with a few exceptions. For those of you who watch Mulan and things, you notice that, you know, she defies her family and her father, and you know, seeing the state of her father and his health, she decides to take a place in you know, in the Emperor's army to fight against the enemy and things. And you know, she tries to make herself look like a boy and things. And in the animated version, it was shown that, you know, she cuts off her hair and things. But that wasn't the case in this one. I don't know why she just tied her hair up into a bun. So yeah, I just thought, like, surely they could suss that out, no? But I don't know. Although yeah, it's a decent remake. But you know, it's not an amazing one. I think the only great remake I liked, you know, so far out of this whole live action remakes that Disney have done, have been The Jungle Book. And The Beauty and the Beast. I think, you know, those two were some great live action remakes. Wasn't a fan of the Lion King remake. And yeah, this one, it's okay, but it's still not up there, you know. That being said, though, yeah, it's worth a watch because it's available now on Disney Plus. You know, you don't need the premiere access. You don't need to pay £20 or anything like that. If you've got a Disney Plus subscription, you can watch that. It's worth a watch, you know, especially if you watch the original and you're a fan of the original, or the original is your favorite, you know, film, favorite animated Disney film, then definitely give this a watch. It's different, but you know, they are missing you know, quite a few key number of things. Yeah, but with that being said, definitely just worth a one-time watch. I don't think it's worth, you know, Disney films, you know, a lot of them do have a lot of replay value. You know, you can watch them, but you know, just for nostalgia reasons. But I don't feel like this is any of them. I don't feel like any of the live action ones are, to be honest, you know. But you know, because you know, the animated ones are what we grew up on, right? But yeah, it's worth a watch at least once. So with that being said, Mulan, the live action remake on Disney Plus, 3 chilies out of 5 for me on a spiceometer, right? Spit a mid there, man, for me. Right, now here's the film I was talking about. Morgan Freeman, right, and Ashley Judd. Kiss the Girls. This is the one I was getting confused with, so my apologies again. But yeah, Kiss the Girls. That is on Sky Go. I managed to check that out on Sky Go, Sky On Demand, right? Yeah, so this one stars Morgan Freeman. He's a forensics, you know, detective. And Ashley Judd is the one who's imprisoned. And then kidnapped, and then she escapes, and she, you know, begins to tell, you know, Morgan Freeman about this, you know, this kidnapper and things. And this is the one gives you that sort of Seven sort of vibes, right? And you know, Morgan's trying to track down his niece, you know, who's also been taken away by this this kidnapper and things. So yeah, man, a great you know, thriller, a great you know, murder mystery sort of thriller sort of one as well, man. And yeah, man, he did a great job. You know, obviously Morgan, who was also in Seven as well, he did a great job. So yeah, I do think like these kind of films are his forte, and I do love seeing him in these sort of films. So yeah, a great another great, you know, thriller murder mystery sort of film here, man. And yeah, great work for Morgan and Ashley Judd in there. I really enjoyed watching that. That is on, yeah, Sky Go, Sky On Demand, if you can find that. Kiss the Girls, really dope. 4 chilies out of 5 for me on the spiceometer. Quite spicy, quite thick indeed. Now let's talk about some TV, man, which I managed to finish this week.
You seen the new TV series?
Yeah, man, I saw the new season of Big Mouth. Yes, you know, one of my favorite animated series from Netflix, man, that comes around every year around this time, sort of time in the winter time. In his fourth season now, the crude, sometimes vulgar, funny, just crazy animated, you know, series showing the kids going through puberty and all the trials and tribulations involved with that, man. Yeah, man, it's great. It's funny as hell. I believe this season 3 wasn't that funny, in my opinion, if I'm being honest. Season 1 was great, season 2 had its moment, season 3 wasn't that great, and I think this one, they redeemed themselves heavily on this. There's a lot of fucking crazy shit in this one, a lot of laughs, a lot of twists and turns and things, man. And yeah, I found it really good, man, this season. I thought they redeemed themselves after what I thought was such a lackluster season 3, and even season 2 at some point, right near the end. But yeah, my Big Mouth season 4, you know, created by Nick Kroll, right? And yeah, really, really dope, man. If you haven't checked it out, man, what are you doing, man? Yeah, you need to go check this out, man. It's funny as hell, man. Just don't watch it with your parents, though. I urge you that. I just request you do not watch it with your parents. Just watch it on your own or with your partner, right? Because it is some fucked up shit in there. I'll tell you that. Right, but yeah, man, great season 4 for me for Big Mouth, man. You know, shameful, like, and when it comes out, they release all the episodes, so you just binge watch them, right? And then you've got to wait another whole year for the next season. I think, yeah, this one's got 10 episodes. I think all 4 seasons have 10 episodes in them. They're about 25 to 35 minutes or so long. Great season for, you know, Big Mouth this year, man. Season 4, man. 4 chilies out of 5 for me on a spiceometer. So make sure you guys go check that out if you have not already, man. Yeah, shouts out to Nick Kroll and everybody involved in that, man. Great series. Right, man, let's talk about some TV and movie news, man. So, you know, Disney had a sort of investors call, I believe, Investors Day presentation, you know, last week. I think that was going on the same time as the Game Awards. Happening side by side, where they released teaser trailers and release dates for upcoming series, and upcoming films. They announced some cast members and things as well for upcoming films as well. So it was a lot. There was a lot of stuff going on, man. So let's get into some of this. So, WandaVision, you know, the new Disney Plus series starring, you know, Vision and Wanda, aka Scarlet Witch. You know, that is premiering, I think January 15th on Disney Plus. They put out another new trailer, a little teaser trailer on that as well. So yeah, that will be streaming next month, January 15th. All right. We've got, you know, new information. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. You know, they're talking about the new cast member Sam Raimi, the guy behind the, you know, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man series. He'll be directing it, and this is going to be opening in theaters hopefully March 25th, 2022. We've got a first look at the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which will be streaming on Disney Plus on March 19th. So that's great. We've got a trailer for Loki, the first look at the new Disney Plus series starring Loki, and that is coming sometime in May. We've got the exclusive first look at the What If series, man, which I'm heavily excited for. You know, What If is basically one, you know, that classic Marvel franchise where, you know, they flip the script and show, you know, give us insight into what if, you know, key moments in the Marvel universe turned out this way or it went another way, i.e. what if it was Peggy who became, you know, the super soldier Cap and Cap turned bad and, you know, things like that. So yeah, I can't wait. That is coming in September 2021, man. And yeah, cannot wait for that. We all see, got release date of the new Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. That film is coming out July 9th, 2021. They introduced Iman Vellani as the new Miss Marvel, as Kamala Khan. And, you know, that's going to be an original series coming to Disney Plus in late 2021. Captain Marvel 2 was announced, right? And the director is going to be Nia DaCosta, right? No release date on that yet. Hayley Steinfeld stars as the Archer Kate Bishop in the new Hawkeye series that will be arriving on Disney Plus in late 2021 as well. Tatiana Maslany, she's going to be starring in a new She-Hulk comedy series coming to Disney Plus, right? And you know, it's also going to feature, you know, the Incredible Hulk himself, Mark Ruffalo. No release date on that yet. And they also announced that they got the new Moon Knight Disney Plus series as well. That's coming soon. No date yet. We've got a new Disney Plus series, Secret Invasion, reuniting Samuel L. Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn in the new Disney Plus series. No date on that yet either. What else we got? We got Armor Wars. Don Cheadle returns as War Machine to save Tony Stark's tech. So that's a new series as well. James Gunn is going to return to write and direct Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special ahead of Guardians of the Galaxy 3. All right, so I believe that's going to be coming sometime in the near future. I Am Groot series, a nice little short, is going to be landing at Disney Plus as well. Christian Bale joining the cast of the new Thor Love and Thunder, and he's going to be playing the villain as Gore the God Butcher. This new Thor film is going to come out May 6th, 2022. Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly, they're going to return in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, you know, Ant-Man 3. And they have confirmed that, you know, the villain will be Kang the Conqueror. And he will be played by Lovecraft Country's own Jonathan Majors. So, yeah, that's very exciting news. Hopefully, is Kang going to be set up as a new Thanos in this new phase? Who knows? That remains to be seen. But, yeah, really excited about that. Black Panther 2, one of the biggest news is that they will not be recasting T'Challa. You know, we'll not be casting, you know, Chadwick Boseman's character, his legendary character. They're going to leave that alone as it should have been, and it's going to focus more on Shuri, right? And they will honor Chadwick Boseman's legacy and his portrayal of King T'Challa. And this will, Black Panther 2 will explore the world of Wakanda a bit more. And finally, they announced that, you know, they are developing a new Fantastic Four film. John Watts is set to direct Marvel's first family, right? I think he's the gentleman behind the Spider-Man, you know, film as well. So yeah, very exciting. So a lot of movie and TV news coming from Disney and Marvel, man. I'm really excited about that. Yeah, Wanda is kicking off with WandaVision, you know, in January 15th, man. Cannot wait for that. So yeah, man, got a lot to look forward to as a Marvel superhero comic book fan, man. We've got a lot of series, a lot of movies coming out in the near 2-3 years. So yeah, man, hopefully we can go back to cinemas and watch them by then, you know. Yeah, cannot wait for that. Right, let's talk about some gaming, man. You know, we talked about, you know, I mentioned a bit of the Game Awards, so let's talk about some gaming.
Have you played that new Gamma? You mean game? That's what I said, Gamma.
Yeah, man, let's talk about some games, man. And what would gaming be without my nostalgic PlayStation drop, man? So let's hit that shit for me. Right, yeah, so the Game Awards happened, you know, just last Thursday. I stayed up and watched it because I had a day off on Friday. I think this was my first Game Awards that I stayed up for, man. And I was a bit let down, I'm not going to lie. I was expecting, you know, bigger announcements and things. There wasn't really anything big in the terms of PlayStation, to be honest. We got a release date of the PlayStation exclusive, PlayStation 5 exclusive Returnal, which I believe was March 21st, 2021. But apart from that, really, no, not really anything much on the PlayStation exclusivity front. So no God of War Ragnarok, no, you know, Last of Us Part 2 multiplayer, anything like that. No, any sort of remasters or reboots or things that are coming on the PS5, none of that. Instead, this was a platform for new games to be announced. So there was a plethora of new game announcements, man. I'm not going to go through each and every one. But you know, the one that really did catch my eye was the one, the Callisto Protocol, which is dubbed as the sequel or sort of soft sort of follow up to Dead Space, you know, that classic survival horror series that was Dead Space, man. So yeah, that's the one that caught my eye the most because Dead Space was great. Yeah, so I'm really, really excited about that. That's coming in 2022, I believe. Apart from that, yeah, you just got some new game announcements. Yeah, the one starring Vin Diesel called Ark, I believe. And a few others, man. A few others. So no major announcements. In terms of the awards, we had the Player's Choice award, which obviously went to Ghost of Tsushima. And Last of Us Part 2 cleaned up, you know, most of the awards, you know, Game of the Year and things, Best Narrative and this, that, the other, you know, they cleaned up. I think they got about 7 awards out of all of them, out of majority of the categories. So big shouts out to Naughty Dog Studios, Neil Druckmann, you know, Laura Bailey, you know, Ashley Johnson, you know, Troy Baker, all of them lot, you know, all of that code, man, for a great game, one of the, you know, greatest games I've played this year and, you know, of my life, really. Yeah, shouts out to Naughty Dog, Neil and everyone, man, congrats for that. Yeah, man, so for a full list of, you know winners and things, man, you know where to go. You go check out, you know IGN and things. You know, they'll have a full breakdown there as well, along with all the announcements as well. But yeah, a bit let down in terms of, you know, no not much on the PlayStation side, but it's more to deal with third party, you know, announcements and things. But shout out to Jeff Keighley, you know, he hosted, you know, this Game Awards show live, you know, from LA in, you know, midst of a pandemic and things. Big shout out to him for pulling it all off, everybody involved in that. So, you know, you've got to give up to Jeff, man. So, yeah, big shout out to him, man. But, yeah, man, for full list of winners and, you know, announcements, go check out IGN, man. They'll be your go-to, man. They're my go-to. So, yeah, go check that out. Let's talk a bit about Cyberpunk 2077, which was released last week, right? And, you know, the reviews came in and it was solely for the PC version. And, you know, it got a 9 out of 10, you know, on the PC. And then, then came the big news. How does it really run on consoles, right? And you know, I was blown away. I was taken aback. I was taken aback by the response. How it was running on consoles, because this is probably the first time I've ever seen a game of this magnitude, you know, triple A, quadruple A title, receive such backlash, right, for how it's running on, quote, last gen consoles, unquote, right? So if you're unaware, last gen consoles are now dubbed as the PS4 and Xbox One X or One S or whatever it's called, Xbox One, whatever it is, right? Yeah, so over the last few days, or you know, over the last week or so, you know, people have been picking up Cyberpunk and playing it on their PlayStation 4 or Xbox One and things. Some people playing it on their PlayStation 5 and their Series X, and it's running pretty well on those consoles. But playing it on a base PS4 or a base Xbox One X or S, whatever it's called, right? It is unplayable by most people's standards. You know, there's a lot of glitches, a lot of bugs, a lot of texture popping, graphics aren't up to date, and you know, it's just not really working properly, you know. And sometimes it takes textures to load, you know, half an hour or 10-15 minutes sometimes, people are saying on average. So something I didn't expect from such a renowned studio that is CD Projekt Red, you know, the people who bought us the Witcher series, and how, you know, great that game was and that series was. So I just did not expect it for this game that has been in development for about 8 years, right? And you know, they've been delaying it, right? I was blown away, really. I was just shocked, to be honest. I didn't think that a game of this magnitude would come out, and you know, people are saying this about it. Now, I personally have not played the game. I do own a base PS4. I don't own a PS4 Pro, so you know, I wasn't going to pick this game up anyway. I was going to wait until they release the PS5 version. But, you know, they've advertised this and released this game for PS4 and Xbox One X, or whatever you want to call it. I'm not too sure on that. You know, if they've advertised it for, you know, PS4 and things, you'd expect some people, because not everybody would have a PS4 Pro. Even on the PS4 Pro, there obviously are, you know, some glitches are obviously a bit less than the base PS4. But there are still some glitches, and even on PS5 there's still some glitches and bugs and things. It's not a perfect running game by any means, but on the base PS4 and base Xbox consoles, they're dubbed as unplayable. Yeah, I think this was a bad move on CD Projekt Red's part. I don't know if they were just trying to rush the game out because they've been delaying it for so long and things, and they thought that, you know, once they get it out there, they'll just release patches, but, you know, I think they've released two patches so far, a day zero and a day one patch. It's cleaned up some issues, but still it's quite unplayable again on the base consoles. It's getting a lot of hate online. I've seen that. And somewhat I do agree. I don't agree with, like, you know, the death threats and things like that, but I do agree with such a renowned studio releasing a game of this quality, you know, in this day and age. It's quite shocking to me, to be honest. As I said, I was very surprised and shocked and blown away by this all. They said that they did put out a statement, said they are aiming to fix these issues. They're going to release new patches and things in January and February. If you aren't happy with it, you know, you can get a refund if you purchase a digital version. They also said you can get a refund if you purchase the physical version. But you know, I've been seeing word float around that, you know, that's not happening. People are trying to take this game back in the stores, trying to get a refund, and they're saying if you can't get a refund, reach out to CD Projekt Red directly and they'll do their best to help you. But I'm hearing a lot of chatter to say that, you know, that's not the case. They're not really giving any sort of refunds, you know, PlayStation especially. They said that, you know, they're not really going to give anybody a refund for this game, which is a bit shocking as well. So yeah, man, you know, if 2020, you know for the year that we've had, you know, yeah, I think it's taught us that, you know, nothing should surprise you. And I think this is one of the things, man, even though it did, you know, a quadruple A, you know, game of this magnitude from this great studio that has brought us, you know, great games in the past, they're going to release a game that really doesn't play well on a console that they advertised it to be released for. Just shows you that you can't really be surprised anymore, right? And I know a lot of people have come out, you know, in their defense and said, you know, this and that, and, you know, don't start hating on them and things. And I agree, you know, death threats and, you know, foul language and this ain't the way to go about it. You know, there's obviously a way to go about your concerns and disdain and things, you know, but, you know, there's no use to, you know, there's no use of, you know, incorporating death threats or threatening them, anything like that, because that's just not on, right? If there's anything that the gaming community are, they are very passionate about their, you know, the games they want and want to play and how they want to play them. And I'm definitely one of them. But yeah, sending death threats and, you know, just abusive language towards them is not on, in my opinion, man. There's a way you're going about things. So yeah, man, that was really surprising for me to see. So if you own Cyberpunk, man, 2077, on, and you've got a base console and things, I'll be interested to see how you guys think, how it's playing. Are you encountering the same issues that everybody else is? If you own a PS4 Pro, I heard it obviously is a lot better, but still got problems. And even PS5 is saying, you know, it's even a lot more better, but you still got some problems as well. So yeah, man. If you haven't picked up the game yet and you own a base PS4, then I don't think you should pick it up, because I think a lot of websites are saying, a lot of gaming review companies are saying that, yeah, do not pick it up for a base PS4. Wait until the next gen version is released. If you have a PC, get it on PC. But if you haven't got a next gen console, do not get it until you've got that, right? Whether it's a marketing ploy on CD Projekt Red's point to buy a new console, that remains to be seen as well. But they said that they didn't, you know, they didn't pay much attention to the base console versions, which was, you know, it's quite telling for such, you know, AAA, quadruple A studio that, you know, of that magnitude. But yeah, people are saying it's the worst launch for a quadruple A game ever. You know, worst launch. You know, they're comparing it to the likes of, you know, Rockstar and, you know, Naughty Dog, you know, with, you know, Last of Us and Last of Us Part 2 and Red Dead and GTA, and, like, you know, out of all of them, you know, they're CD Projekt Red are at the bottom. So they are facing a lot of scrutiny, a lot of anguish, a lot of disdain and things. So you know, let's hope they sort this all out very soon, man. Let's hope they do. Let's really hope they do, because I do want to play this game. It looks good. It does look great. But yeah, I'm gonna have to wait until I pick up the PS5 version, man. Right, man, let's talk about some games I've been playing over the last few weeks then, right? So during the Black Friday sales, I went through some good Black Friday deals, and I actually bought the Resident Evil Raccoon City Edition, you know, which features a remake of Resident Evil 2 and 3, right? And so, you know, I got those two, and you know, I started playing through them. So let's start with Resident Evil 2. So this is my review of the Resident Evil 2 remake, which came out last year, right? 2019. So a remake of the 1998, you know, game, which you know, heralded as a classic, and you know, in the Resident Evil series. I cannot remember playing that game, you know. I just cannot remember playing it, right? But yeah, nonetheless, I played this remake, and this remake obviously does have a lot of replay value if you're looking for that. It does have a lot of replay value, and but then it does also, you know, to contradict that, it does you know, really not require, you know, that much replay, to be honest. And I'll tell you why. So from the beginning, you can choose whose story you want to play. You want to choose Claire Redfield, or you want to choose Leon Kennedy, right? Now, the majority of their story is quite similar. I think it's about 85% similar. You go to the same places, you know, you visit the same places throughout the story, and, you know, more or less you face the same sort of bosses throughout the story. I think the only exception is at the end of Claire's story, you face a different boss compared to the boss you face at the end of Leon's story. Apart from that, and some of the dialogue and some of the cutscenes and things and the characters you meet, you know, as I said, it's about 85% similar, really, I think. So yeah, apart from the characters and, you know, that last boss fight, the story is pretty much the same, right? So, you know, whoever you choose to play, Claire or Leon, right, it doesn't really make too much of a difference, apart from one or two little, you know, difference, you know, one or two little differences, such as some characters and the last boss fight, right? Also, once you complete one person's, you know, story, you unlock the other person's B story, and the B story is basically, you know, what that other person was doing during the other person's A story. So, for example, if I chose to play as Claire the first time round, once I complete Claire's first story or first run, I would unlock Leon's second run, right? So how it's supposed to be played is that if you play Claire's first story, you should then play Leon's second story. If you play Leon's first story, then you should play Claire's second story, right? That's how it is. I wish I did that, right? I wish I did that because, you know, it would have saved me a lot of time and things. How I did it was I played Claire's story first, Claire's first story, and then I played Leon's first story. And then that's when I noticed there wasn't really many differences, right? And then I was like, oh, should I do both Claire and Leon's second story? And I got like, I think, was it a quarter of the way through Claire's second story. Then I was just like, you know what, fuck this. Because, you know, it's the second run is a bit harder than the first run. You come across items more quicker, right? And Mr. X, or Tyrant as he is, he's more, you know, prevalent in the second run. And you'll run into him more, which can get a hell of a lot annoying as well. So yeah, it's up to you. You know, if you're one of them completionists, you know, which I do say I am, but with this I felt like I just couldn't be arsed with it because it was the same sort of thing, right? The same sort of thing again. Just you know maybe I tweaked a little difficulty, and that's really it. So if you're gonna play this remake, just do one of the characters' first stories and then do their second story if you wanted to, right? If you really wanted to, you could just do one of the characters' first stories and then call it quits at that, you know, because I think that is enough, to be honest, right? I did enjoy playing this remake, a remake of a classic, man, and, the graphics and things were great. Gameplay and things, again, if you've been a fan of that survival horror series, you're running low on ammo, so you need to conserve it, and you need to use some tactics and things to wiggle yourself out of some tricky situations and things like that. A great remake of a classic game. Still give you some of the jumps and jitters, especially if you're playing at night with the lights off and things. So Resident Evil 2 remake, 4 chilies out of 5 for me on the Spiceometer, man. I did enjoy my short time with this game. The campaign is only about, what, if you're doing the first one, the campaign should only last you about, what, maybe 8 hours max. 8 to 10 hours max, at max. Shortest time you'd probably be able to clock it in about 5 to 6, but 8 to 10 hours max should last you the first campaign. The second run through should only be about 4 or 5 hours at least. That's it. It's a bit quicker. So yeah, a short playthrough. I don't know how much the price is right now, but when I scooped it up, I got this in Resident Evil 3, for £25 or £26, quite a deal. Because I think if you were to buy the physical copies, they're ranging from £18 to £20 each. So check out the PS Store for that if you wanted to have a look at that. Recommend it, man. Definitely recommend it. If you haven't played it before and you're a fan of games like Last of Us and things, yeah, definitely check it out. Because, Last of Us obviously has, built and drawn references from Resident Evil as it was its predecessor, right? 4 chilies out of 5 for me on the Resident Evil 2 remake. And then I went on to play the Resident Evil 3 remake, right? And this time you take control of Jill Valentine, man, and another gentleman by the name of Carlos, right? So this is actually set in the same sort of time frame as the second one, right? But you're in the heartness, you're in the heart of Raccoon City, rather, as opposed to like the police station and the sewers and things that you were in Resident Evil 2, right? So in this one, in the Resident Evil 3 remake, right? You're taking the control of Jill Valentine and her partner, in crime, Carlos, and you're making your way through Raccoon City, and you're trying to stop another sort of menace in the form of Mr. X Tyrant, and that is Nemesis. And I've got to say this, Nemesis is 100 times more frightening, more scary than Mr. X, I tell you that. Mr. X in Resident Evil 2, you can hear him coming and things, whereas with Nemesis, sometimes you can't even hear him coming, and he charges towards you like some angry NFL player, man, and he's frightening at times, especially when you're playing this game at night and it's quiet and things, he'll just bust out of nowhere, and then you think you lost him, or you can run away from him. You know, in Resident Evil 2, Tyrant really didn't run, he just slow and methodically walked towards you, whereas Nemesis actually just charges at you like an NFL linebacker. yeah, man, crazy, man. Nemesis 100 times more scary than Mr. X. Yeah, man, and the story in this one, and just the layout of Raccoon City and things, you know, you don't feel really confined or restricted. You are free to explore and things, whereas I feel like in Resident Evil 2, you know, it's just the setting of it. I think because you had to replay it as well, you kind of got sick and tired of, you know, going to the same sort of places. But yeah, in this one, they got rid of the whole replay thing. Like, you know, you can just do this story once and that's it. There's no part A and part B or first run or second run, right? Nothing like that. You can just do the main story and that's it. Yeah, man, it's great. It's great. After playing this, man, I think it made me realize that this is a better one than Resident Evil 2, in my opinion. Even though, you know, they got the same scores and things across the majority of the gaming websites. I think they've both got 9 out of 10. But I feel like Resident Evil 3 was better for me than Resident Evil 2, strictly down to the, you know, just because of one, the major thing was the replay. You know, you didn't get bored of it, and, you know, you had Nemesis, you know, charging at you, making you shit yourself, and other things as well in the game, making you shit yourself as well. Definitely more scary than number 2, 100%, right? Yeah, man, great game, man, great. I really enjoyed that. Yeah, campaign wise with Jill, depending on the difficulty and things, I played it on normal, right? I think it took me about 6 to 8 hours, I believe. But yeah, about 6 to 8 hours to complete, right? So yeah, not bad. And if it's on sale for a good price, definitely worth a buy, man, on the PlayStation Store. So Resident Evil 3 remake, yeah, man, much better than Resident Evil 2 remake, man. And yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed my time as with Jill and Carlos in Raccoon City. 5 chilies out of 5 for me on the spiciometer, man. You know, not even quite spicy, it's both spicy, both the cool, man. Hit that drop, man. You know the vibes.
You know the fucking vibes.
Yes, sir, man. 5 chilies out of 5 for me for the Resident Evil 3 remake, man.
Ooh. Spicy.
Both spicy, both the cool, man.
Ooh,
yes, sir, man. Ooh, wee. So yeah, man. Go check out those two games on the PS Store. If you can get the Raccoon City edition, you get the 2-in-1, right? You get the two games, and hopefully the price shouldn't be that much. But when I picked it up for Black Friday, it was about £26. All right. If you play these games before, and you know you want to play the remake and things, then yeah, definitely do that again. If you haven't played these games, then I do urge you guys, especially if you're fans of games like Dead Space and The Last of Us, because this is where the genre really kind of started, right, from Resident Evil. Number 4 was my favorite, to be honest, in the house. I remember that, Resident Evil 4. So hopefully when they remake that, you know, I'll be all over that. But yeah, two great remakes, man. They've been on my list to play for a long time, and you know, I finally got around to it, these last few weeks. So yeah, man, definitely worth it. I started a new game just the other day, and this game is hailed as one of PlayStation's greatest games. It's a PlayStation exclusive, and I've seen talk about it, you know, all over the websites and Twitter forums and things. And that game is Bloodborne. Yes, this is my first Souls game. So can you believe that? I haven't really actually played a Souls game. When I mean Souls game, I'm talking about Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, Bloodborne, Sekiro, you know, those sort of vibes, man. I haven't played any of these games. So yeah, this is my first Souls game, man. And because I've been thinking about it for some time, I had it on my list of, you know, PlayStation games I still haven't played. Horizon Zero Dawn is another one. So I will get around to that hopefully after, you know, finishing this, whenever I do. I don't think I'll be finishing Bloodborne for quite some time now, because this game is fucking hard, I tell you that. I knew it was going to be hard. I did. you know, I knew it was going to surprise me at some point, because when I was playing it, I was dying, but I felt like, okay, like, these enemies aren't that hard until I got to the first boss fight, which I just cleared yesterday after countless deaths, right? I finally cleared that, was that a challenge? And I think it's only going to get fucking harder from here, because that's just the first boss, right? So it's only going to get harder from here on out. But I can see, I am getting that feeling which, a lot of, Souls fans, relish in, and that is obviously defeating a boss after dying so many times, right? And a friend of mine always said, you know, there's a saying in the Souls Bloodborne in the community, and that is called Git Good, G-I-T space G-U-D, Git Good. And that's the only way to really beat and overcome some of these challenges. So I can see why people like these series and like the whole soul series and things, because it does reward you for your patience, and obviously, but then it does fuck with you heavily. It will make you hate yourself, it will break you down, it will fucking make you wanna like rage and cry at some points probably. I haven't got to that stage yet, I probably will, but I feel like after this game, or depending on how I found, I'm liking it right now. So after clearing the first boss, and it is tempting me to go back, it is pulling me backwards like, nah, okay, I want to go back right after clearing that. If I can clear that first boss, I'm fine. Before, when I was dying a lot, I was like, you know what, this game is not for me, I can't do it, fuck this game's not for me, it's not my type of game. And then I was saying to myself, like, you know what, no man, I can do this, these games, it's all about patience, finding your moment, spotting a weakness, and sometimes memorizing a fight pattern as well, these bosses and things. So if you can give yourself patience and doing all of this, you are gonna die 100%, there's no doubt about that, man. I've died how many times? Probably 100 so far. But you just gotta keep going, man. You gotta keep that patience, you gotta keep that mindset and motivation going, man, because I think this will obviously, these sort of games make you a better gamer, makes you appreciate your victories and things. And I know people have been saying that about Demon Souls as well on the PS5. This is opening me up to the whole Souls, genre. So depending on how this goes, obviously, I do maybe want to check out Sekiro and Dark Souls and Demon Souls and things, after this. But let's see. But I'm right now, I'm enjoying this game. I definitely am, even though it's gonna be frustrating at times. It's gonna fuck with me. It's gonna make me hate myself. I'm enjoying it right now, and let's see where it takes me. Right, yeah, that's our gaming segment finished, man. So let's do a quick wrap up on the sleeper side of things, man. So yeah, it's been a while since I've talked about some sleeper picks, all because I've just been revisiting some old stuff, man. But over these last few weeks, which we've been quite light on the music side, I've managed to check out some other releases, maybe some releases people haven't really spoke about. First one is from a guy called 38 Spesh. So 38 Spesh is another rapper in the same sort of category as Griselda. He gives you those Benny the Butcher, Griselda sort of vibes, excuse me, right? That drug hard talk, man. And he released a project just last week called 1995. I think it's only about 8 tracks, and it's about 15 minutes or so long. Each track is about a minute, 2 minutes, if that, right? And he's just rapping over some classic beats, man, some classic hip-hop beats. And yeah, it's great. I thought it was fucking dope. I really like that. Classic hip-hop beats, talking that hard drug talk, man, over them, man. Yeah, I fuck with that heavy, man. So that's 38 Spesh, 1995. Man, if you like that Griselda, Benny sort of sound, if you want to hear some guy freestyling over some classic hip-hop beats, then definitely go check that out, man. Stay Especially 1995, it's on streaming services right now. Another one is Chain Noir. She's a female, she fits into that Griselda sort of category as well, like that Armani Caesar, but a bit toned down from the sexual side of things. She's more talking about bars and stuff, so really probably more along the Rhapsody lines, if I'm being honest, but still we're talking that drug talk as well on that. She dropped a new project called 12th Hour, I think it's called. Let me just double check that. 12 hour Chat Noir. After 12, sorry, it's called After 12. That this project comes packaged at 7 tracks, 22 minutes, so long. We got features from Ransom, really fuck with Ransom. Day 8 Specials on there. RJ Payne, Amber Simone, Jinx, the Mussolini. 7 tracks, 22 minutes, so long. Right, some great rapping on there as well. So two dope projects, man. Day 8 Special, 1995. Chat Noir with 12 hour. Make sure you guys go check that out if you want to look out for some new rap hard hitting sort of music there, man. So yeah, shouts out to Day 8 Special and Chat Noir, man. Dope projects there. Right, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, that wraps us up on episode 127, Notorious Gucci Podcast, man. I didn't do my intro as I did, man. You know, I thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the episode. I'll be back here same time, same place next week, man. Until then, I'm your host, your humble and gracious host, your host with the most, the boy, the most sauce, the boy, the most chutney, man. Sprinkle a bit of garam masala on top, the rodli to your sack, the khichdi to your curry, the dal to your bhat, the samosa to your chutney, man. The gatia to your jalebi, the pao to your bhaji, the chili to your paneer, man. I'm your host, the Notorious Gucci, aka Melon Oza, man. This is episode 127 of Notorious Gucci Podcast. Thank you guys for listening, man. We'll be back same time, same place next week, man. Peace, man. You already know the vibes.
You know the fucking vibes?
You're now tuned in to the spiciest podcast in the world. Live from your local cash and carry, the Notorious Gucci Podcast. Hand me some of that chutney.